Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 72.
Wolf, what a bear. Podcast, yo, man. Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear. Podcast, yo, man. Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear. Podcast, yo, man. Wolf, what a bear.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for downloading this latest episode of Bear Podcast. This is the Nard.
And this is Drew Domkus, big, fat, long-lost twin brother. No, I'm just kidding. no, this is Excalibur.
Yeah, I've seen your pictures, and you sure look like Drew Domkus now.
You're not the only one who has pointed that out. So apparently I've lost enough weight, and I've shaved my face to the point where now I look like the chubby version of Drew Domkus from the Don and Drew show. So who knew?
Well, it looks good. It looks.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so what have you been doing lately? What happened to you last weekend?
Last weekend, I got the oh-so-fun job of building part one of the Pirates of the Caribbean display inside the Disney store, and it was a bitch. It was such a bitch. And we're not even done with it. Part two is happening tomorrow. We have to build the window display for Pirates of the Caribbean. They're going all out for Pirates of the Caribbean, and to be honest with you, I can't wait for the movie. I can't wait for it next week, but I'm really getting sick and tired of seeing the merchandise in our store already because they are portraying Jack Sparrow as this supernatural guy with glowing white eyes, and I'm like, that's not how he is in the movie. So,
well, as for me, what did I do? Last weekend was Pride. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about. Yeah, I got some stories from my sister and my friends about Pride, so we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Okay, so what else do we have? Okay, we're going to talk about net neutrality and its effects. Well, probably the effects of it on blogging and podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Very important subject that we need to deal with. I think a lot of people probably are not aware of what's happening right now, so you need to know because it can affect you.
And then also, I also have a guest from Nashville, Tennessee. His name is Robert Smith.
And oh, from The Cure?
No, it's not from The Cure. It's not from The Cure.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not from The Cure.
I was going to say, I love Friday, I'm in love. Yeah. Before we get going, it's time for another Excalibur fucked up.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I made two mistakes on the last episode. First of all, I made a mention that the Dallas Pride Parade was going to be the end of September through the beginning of October. That's not true. The Dallas Pride Parade will be actually on September 17th at 2 p.m. Most of all, I made a big goof with Kendall's song. It's Hip Hop Dykes, not Ghetto Dykes. Although I think the title Ghetto Dykes is funnier because that describes a lot of people that I remember from back in Richmond, California. But no, the song is Hip Hop Dykes. So yeah, I fucked up. Thanks for pointing it out.
Okay. Well, many people emailed you or did Kendall
come? Emailed me, messaged me on Bear411, mainly because of Kendall's song. And I was like, I know. I realized it when I heard the episode. So. But no, Kendall didn't correct me, and so I'm glad. So, but I apologize to Kendall for screwing up the title of his song.
Yeah. All right, so we got a full show today. So stick around, guys, and enjoy the show.
Has everybody sobered up now from their Pride celebrations? Is everybody done with their little post-haze and everything and ready to go back to normal life?
Well, I hope so because, you know, it's been a few days now. And actually, I tried not to drink a lot I didn't drink at all last weekend for the Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, it's very hot here in Texas. I don't want to dare getting dehydrated during the parade.
Of course, that's not good at all.
So tell me about your San Francisco story.
Well, I got message backs. I got a mixed bag review actually from people back in San Francisco. First of all, my sister, who I have to say is the biggest ghetto fag hag I've ever seen in my entire life. This woman, I think, did a backflip and a half in her mind when she found out I was gay. I am convinced also she was a drag queen in a past life, because I've never seen a woman invest so much money in MAC makeup in my entire life than my sister. But she completely supports the gay community. She loves gay people to death, a little too much, actually. And she watches more gay television than I do. She worships the ground that the Fab Five from Queer Eye walk on, for Christ's sake. Oh, yeah, so she's gay. But she's been attending Pride now for the past 4 years, and she loves Pride. She didn't have a good experience this year at Pride. She said that the problems that she experienced at Pride was, first of all, it was too political, she said. She said she understands that the political climate right now with gay rights and everything has to be heard, but she said that it overpowered the celebration of celebrating the fact that we are gay and we're able to do and say more than we were able to 20, 30 years ago. And she said that, unfortunately, to her, it overshadowed the whole celebration. And she said it kind of brought the celebration down. It got too political. She said it was also a little too corporatized with the sponsorship. She also said that there was kind of a weird vibe in the air because there was too many really young gay and lesbian people who were, like, still in high school and, you know, in college, and they were acting like they were using the gay pride celebration as an excuse just to get drunk, get high, and do whatnot. And she was pretty disappointed with that. She even tried going to Castro Street, and she said, and I've even seen photos of this, Castro Street, she said, was just absolutely jacked up. She said there was just alcohol flowing all over the place on the ground and broken bottles and stuff, and she said it was just absolute madness, and she couldn't believe just how mad it was. She didn't have a good time.
Reminds me of New Orleans.
Now, I do know that my friend Richard, who's known as a boy-shaped box on LiveJournal.
Hey, Richard.
He had an excellent time, and I'm glad that he did. This was his first San Francisco Pride, so I'm glad that it was memorable for him. Because you will never forget your first you'll never forget your first Pride, period. But San Francisco is one of the main mega gay areas in the United States, so, you know, of course they put on one hell of a party. And besides, I heard that Lisa and Crystal Waters were working it on the stage show, so that was pretty much what I heard about the San Francisco Pride. It was pretty much a mixed bag. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, apparently was in the parade. The real Elvira, Cassandra Peterson, mm-hmm. which was a surprise appearance, apparently. She was on the float with drag queen extraordinaire Peaches Christ. So that I would have liked to have seen. I miss Peaches Christ. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's such an action-packed pride parade for San Francisco.
Exactly. Now, what was going on in Houston?
Well, okay. Here in Houston, the Pride Parade here is the theme is "Say It Out Loud." We're in, just say it out loud. That we try to show in our floats in the mm-hmm. Houston area Bears. What they did was to have a float on a flatbed on a being pulled by a truck, and it's got a bear flag on it, and it's got. Those comic book balloons when somebody's talking, saying, "I'm a professional, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor." Well, that basically what they're saying is that, gay people or bears are all around us living normal lives like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the bears have a pretty good float, and they have a good response from the audience, or from the people from around. Actually, I walked also Saturday night. I walked with the Asians and Friends of Houston. And we
did you pull one of the rickshaws?
No, I didn't. We had a dragon. I'll post a picture on the website. We had a dragon.
Now, was this a dragon or a drag-gun?
No.
And by dragon, I mean like a dragon done up all RuPaul style.
No. It's really a dragon. Actually, it's got a history. It's a 50-year-old dragon.
Oh, wow.
60 years ago. It was used in Hawaii, and then for festivals and stuff like that. Then 10 years after, it was locked up in a box, hidden away.
Oh, wow.
And then 50 years later, I think it was sold on eBay, and one of our Asians and Friends members bought it, and
he, oh my god, yeah.
it was 180 feet.
180. Wow!
Yeah, it took about 22 people to just to carry it and move around, and I guess it was worth it because you know it. I guess it's the first gay pride parade for this dragon. So we dubbed it the gay dragon. But anyway, yeah, we won the best walking entry.
Oh, good. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, so we were happy about that. We got a cute little trophy because, you know, we were being it around, snaking around the streets, and people were trying to touch it. And little do they know, it's at least 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess it just came out. The dragon came out.
Hey, it's not too late for George Takei, then, you know, let the dragon do it.
Yeah, that's right. So that's pretty much that's what happened to us during Pride Parade.
However, I just can't help but sit here and think a 50-year-old dragon who is a relic and has an entourage to help carry it around. It sounds like a bunch of drag queens I know also.
What is it? Dungeons and Drag Queens?
Oh, God. Oh, God, yeah. Well, Dungeons and Drag Queens, isn't that... oh, God, no, I better not say it. I'll piss people off. I was going to say, isn't that what most of the drag queen pageants are about anyway? Leather and drag, so...
Oh, yeah, so if you guys have any Pride Parade stories, just yeah, send us an email, okay? Or leave us a voice comment. Okay, let's talk about something techie and a little bit more something that concerns many internet users.
Now, before a lot of you out there go, "Oh God, he's getting techie," this is actually very important because this will affect everybody who uses the internet. This is a threat that's actually very real. For those of you who do not know what net neutrality is, or net neutrality is basically, it's an amendment rule about how the internet is operated. Basically, in a nutshell, net neutrality ensures that all users can access content or run applications and devices on the internet as they choose. And also with net neutrality, the network that supplies you the internet service, their only job is to move the data, not to choose which data to give you. There is a proposition, or not a proposition, but a law right now that's running through Congress where if it is voted in, network neutrality will cease to exist. It's already passed the House of Representatives on June 8th, and now it's going to the Senate. And the scary thing is that if net neutrality is eliminated, then this means companies like AT&T, Verizon, or Comcast now have the power to decide what internet websites, blogs, podcasts, or anything that they want to actually supply to you. And how they determine which ones to supply to you is who pays them more money. Basically, it boils down to greed.
Actually, it's like them, since they provide the internet, or they provide internet access for people, the data that's coming from different providers, it depends on how much they pay.
Exactly.
How much they pay is how much bandwidth they can give to people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
In other words, they have the power to prioritize in people who pay more.
Exactly.
If you're using a free blog, for example, it has less priority than people who would pay. Basically, that's an analogy to that.
One of the analogy that affects us the most, I think. The three analogies that I think will affect anybody, period, first of all, is people who use Google. Internet providers could decide to use their own search engine and push their search engine on you instead of allowing you to be able to use Google. Like AT&T is now partnered with Yahoo, so if you try to go use Google but you're part of AT&T, then if net neutrality is gone, what's to stop AT&T from saying, you know what, why don't you try Yahoo instead when you don't want Yahoo, you want Google? Another thing that it could affect is if you have an iPod, and let's say a company like Comcast doesn't like you using iTunes because they want you to use their own higher-priced music service, then they could slow down or even halt the downloading of music from iTunes. And yes, if net neutrality is destroyed, they can do it legally. They honestly can. The biggest thing, though, that it would affect is anybody who blogs or does podcasts. It will give top priority to the blogs and the podcasts who are actually corporate-sponsored and corporate-owned and has corporations that pay to have their blogs read online or their podcast made available through iTunes or whatever podcast services that are out there. And this could honestly squash the independent podcast. Like, it could affect our podcast, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right now it's free, but that means it's possible that the downloads for this would be slowed down unless it's corporate sponsored.
Or even worse, it could force independent podcasts to start charging to download their episodes, and that's not the point of podcasts. Podcasts are supposed to be free.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, oh well, I hope the Senate does the right thing.
If you want to make sure that the Senate does do the right thing, there are things you can do. First of all, of course, you can contact your senator and let them know, do not vote for the Net Neutrality Act. If you want to get more information, there is a website that has been opened up, and we'll have the link to it on our page. The website is www.savetheinternet.com. And if you are a podcaster, if you use blogs, if you are an iTunes user, if you do anything on the internet and you want to keep the freedom to do whatever the hell you want on the internet, you need to make your voice heard, and the time is now, because from what I understand, the Senate vote is very soon.
The following interview with Robert may not be clear for some of you guys, so please bear with me. Okay, everyone, I am now here with Robert Smith. He is the Vice President of Music City Bears and a listener of the Bear Podcast. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thanks, Nard.
It's been a long time since I wanted you to be in the show, but I got swamped with a lot of interviews with other events and stuff like that. So, yeah. So how are you?
I listen to the show regularly, so I've heard most of the interviews as they went along. Still haven't gone back and talked to Kendall interview. I need to do that.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're in Nashville right now, right?
I'm in Nashville, yeah.
How's the weather there right now? Is it hot, cold?
It's not bad. The sun is going down, and it was in the mid-80s today. Not overly humid, but it was pretty nice today. And outside, it's really nice right now. It's nice enough to go for a walk.
Oh, nice. Okay. Have you always lived there? You always been a Nashville native, or...?
Grew up in East Tennessee and moved to Nashville in 84. So, yeah, most of the years that really count, I've been here.
I see. Okay.
So,
wow.
So there are almost no native Nashvillians. So everybody's from somewhere else.
So you're in a coffee shop right now. What's the name again? It's a famous monk.
The name of the coffee shop is Bongo Java. There was a store, Bongo Java. There's two locations. This is the original location. There was a story, I think, on NBC Nightly News within the last couple weeks or so. Several years ago, there was a cinnamon bun that they baked here at Bongo Java, and it came out with the face of Mother Teresa on it.
Oh, that's right. I heard the nun bun.
Yeah. That they weren't trying to make a bun in the shape of Mother Teresa. It just happened. So it was on display here for years. And back in January of this year, it disappeared. And the NBC Nightly News story was that there had been a nun bun sighting somewhere in New York. So they're hoping, you know, that whoever has taken the nun bun will, you know, bring it back at some point to its natural home here in Nashville.
Oh, I see.
But Bongo Java is, I guess, going to be the weekly home for a while of the Music City Bears Wednesday coffee gathering. They have it's been a rotating coffee shop gathering for the last few months, and it's been a lot of fun. We kind of skipped all the Starbucks locations and just sort of went to the little homegrown ma-and-pa coffee shops around town, and we've kind of settled back in at Bongo Java for a while for the summer, I guess.
I see. Okay. Wow. So, yeah, tell me about your group. How long has Music City Bears been around?
Well, since the early 90s, actually. There was kind of a drama blow up in, I think, 2002, and then a reformation. So we're now 4 years into the modern era of Music City Bears. Mm-hmm. We've had Bear Jam for the last 4 years, and there probably were some Bear Jam type events back in the 90s as well. But pretty much the guys that are around now have all come along in the last few years. So for us, it's all what we've done since 2002. We have probably about 50 or so members, I think, at this point.
Wow.
And over 300 on our Yahoo group.
300 on our Yahoo group? Wow. A lot of tunners, I guess. Mm-hmm. So how did Music City Bears, Bear Jam, get around to it with Bearpalooza? How did it get together?
Well, when Freddie Freeman and Jay Freeman moved to Nashville in 2004, I think at that point Freddie had already performed at the Bearpalooza Festival in New York and in, I think, Philadelphia. They came to Nashville for Bear Jam 2004, which was Ursus Olympus, I think it was. The summer games were going on in Athens at that point. Mm-hmm. So the theme that year was Olympics. So we had people dressed in togas and that kind of thing. Yeah. And the Bearpalooza performers for that year played after the banquet Saturday night. Freddie, Matthew Temple, who lives here in Nashville also, Michael West. Today is Michael West's birthday, in fact, so we'll have to give a little happy birthday shout out to Michael. we're not going to guess how old he is. But, we'll give Michael a little happy birthday shout out. And then the following year, in 2005, the show was given its all of Saturday afternoon. And that last year, we had all of the local performers, Charlie Brown, who's from Clarksville, Tennessee, Freddie, Charlie Brown. Yeah, that's the guy's name. His parents had about as much imagination as my parents did. So, I don't know, Robert Smith. We'll call it Robert Smith. So, yeah, Charlie performed, Freddie, Michael West, Matthew Temple. And then from out of town last year, we had Max Christopher from Brooklyn, Dave Montana, who did a really great set. Threw in covers of a couple of old New Order and Depeche Mode tunes. It was really kicking, yeah. And of course, we had a double headliner last year. We had both Kendall and Yolanda, and the only performers who can really compete with each other for that kind of magnetism are those two. They're the only two people that could stand a chance of upstaging the other one. And on any given night, it would be a toss-up as to who puts on the more electric, riveting show, either Kendall or Yolanda. So the Saturday show featured both of them finishing up. What else did we do that year? That show almost didn't happen. We had it at a at a great little club, not our usual home bar. But it had a wonderful backyard, volleyball court, a little outdoor stage, and we had this whole vision of like a carnival midway. Our theme last year was supposed to be Renaissance Fair, so that's how we were going to have the little walking midway. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be the hottest weekend of the entire summer. Heat index over 100, and it's miserably humid in Nashville in the dog days of summer. So they moved it indoors. The bar was still locked 10 minutes before the show was start to begin. Freddie almost had an embolism over that, but we got inside the club and got started. And either there was no air conditioning, or the air conditioning they had was not rated for 100 plus bears to be in that building.
Oh yeah. Big bears.
It was hot. But, you know, honestly, it was so much fun, and the show was just so incredible. I really didn't notice the heat until somebody pointed out to me later, like, oh, you know, there's no air conditioning. I'm like, oh, man, why did you tell me that? I was enjoying the show. Just, you know, don't bring me down telling me that there's no air conditioning.
Oh, wow. This year it's Carnival. The theme is a carnival.
Country carnival. Yeah, we're planning on having like a carnival midway this year on Friday afternoon in the hotel banquet room. So we're not going to be at the mercy of the weather this time. We're going to have lots of nice air conditioning, popcorn, cotton candy. Freddie insisted on the cotton candy machine. Some little hot dog things, whatever, and some sort of carnival-themed booths for people to walk around. We're going to have vendor fare mixed in with that. We're trying to get, like, maybe a tattoo artist. We considered the idea of a kissing booth.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I came very close to volunteering for that, and I may get. I may let myself get talked into that. I don't know.
I think we'll
see what happens. We're going to have a couple of performances Friday afternoon. One from Kendall, kind of a longer set, and also from Sideshow Benny. Now, if you haven't seen Sideshow Benny, go to just Google Sideshow Benny. And his site will come up. He's the only Sideshow Benny out there. And once you get a look at the site and get a look at what he's all about, you'll know what I mean when I say that he's the only one out there. He can do some really incredible things that I wouldn't even dream of trying.
Eat the head of a chicken or something? Or...
well, I don't think there's any live animals involved, but... Okay. like driving nails into his nose.
Goodness, really?
Some stuff that looks incredibly painful. But apparently there's a mental control that he's mastered that enables him to do those kind of things that would put the rest of us in the hospital. So he's going to be quite an interesting show. It might be a show that I watch with one eye open and one eye closed or kind of peeking through my fingers over my eyes. But it's going to be interesting. And I met him a month or two ago at another one of the coffee shops, gatherings. And he's the nicest person you'd ever want to meet. You'd never guess. Now, you do what for a living? So
he doing chains again? That's pretty much what he does, huh? Okay. It's really intriguing.
Yeah.
How do we invite the people to come to Bear Jam this coming July? I mean, websites do you have? What links?
Go to www.musiccitybears.com.
Okay.
/ Bear Jam. BearJam. musiccitybears.com/BearJam. Mm-hmm. And this year we have online registration for the first time. So there's, you know, no messy postage stamps to put on an envelope and mail. You can go to the website. Currently, our non-member rate, I think, is $109 for the run between now and July the 20th, which is the first day of the run. From that point on, I think it's $129. There are phone numbers on the site for the Holiday Inn Express, which is the hotel, you know, that we'll be having. It's right downtown on I think Broadway and 9th Avenue. It's right across the street from the Frist Museum, right next to the Lifeway Christian something or other. So it's an interesting little location that we've got. But the hotel is family friendly, so to speak, and this will be our second year in that hotel, so they're kind of used to hosting our crowd. You will have to call the hotel to get the Bear Jam rate, and if you're going to do that, you need to do that before Saturday, July the 8th. There will probably be other rooms available, but you'll have to pay full price, and you may not get them close to the block of rooms that they have a lot of tourists for Bear Jam.
Yeah, we'll post the link on the website. All right, Robert, we're going to take a break, and don't go away. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll be back after these messages. I've been checking around the schedules lately, and it seems that many clubs are not planning anything around the weekend of July 15th. Why? Because of Gay Games 7. It's going to be in Chicago 2006. Yes, it's going to be a busy week, I believe. Yeah. So it's going to be from July 15th to 22nd. So if you guys want to check out gaygameschicago.org. They even have Erasure's Andy Bell perform at the opening ceremony at Soldier Field. Yeah, so check out the website, gaygameschicago.org. And that's pretty much the events that I can I can tell you guys. I believe Lazy Bear was rescheduled to next month because they cannot do it this month because of the Gay Games. Oh, well, so we'll just watch out for Lazy Bear. Probably I'll talk about it towards the end of the month. Okay, so I also checked out Robert Smith's suggestion to go to Google and look for Sideshow Benny. I posted some pictures on the website about Sideshow Benny, and he's a bear, he's a woofy bear, and he's an exhibitionist. I should say he's got screwdrivers, nails, hammers, and staple guns. Oh goodness! Yeah, you guys got to check it out. Okay, just go to the website. Okay, so let's go back to Robert Smith.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
Robert, so tell me about yourself. Are you single?
No, actually, I'm married.
You're married, that's right. What's your partner's
name? I'm married,
name?
Yes. Her name is Brenda.
Your name what?
Brenda? But, surprise.
Oh, okay.
I'm...
How long have you been together?
Since 1992.
Oh my goodness, wow. That's a very long time.
And I came out to her in 2004 after going to the first Bear Jam that I went to in the summer of 2004. So I'm kind of like Yogi. I'm not your average bear. But she's come to understand that this is this is what it takes for me to keep my sanity. And she's disabled, and her situation's complicated, but on the whole, I'd have to say that I'm incredibly much happier now than I was before 2004 when I met the couple of guys that eventually got me to come and visit the Bear Group and eventually join the Bears.
Okay. Do you go to bear runs? Like,
I went to the Chatter Bear Thaw that the Lookout Bears put on in Chattanooga, Tennessee this year in March. That was their first bear run, although they've been around in the Chattanooga area almost as long, I would think, as we've been here in Nashville. And they're a really good bunch of guys. Now, the bear run that they have doesn't have anything, you know, I'd like to think, anything that comes close to Bearpalooza. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's too many runs in the immediate area that that does have anything that comes close to Bearpalooza. But it was still a marvelous time. They had a riverboat cruise. I got to see a couple of really dear friends that came up from North Georgia that I don't get to see a whole lot. And other than that, I'm not much of a traveler. So that's one of the reasons that I put all my energy into going to Bear Gen every year. I don't have to go to my vacation. It comes to me.
I see. So right now you're really concentrating on the on Bear Gen. And any bear events you attend, you're planning to do in the future, or are you really just concentrating on Bear Gen right now?
For the next 3 weeks, there's not much that I'm concentrating on at all other than Bear Jam. One thing that we did last year, though, after Bear Jam was over in August, we rented a couple of large pontoon boats and just sort of a little unwind thing for the Bear Club afterward. We spent a day on the lake. And that was just a really, really great thing to do. So I'm kind of hoping we do that again this year. After that, things kind of wind down for the Music City Bears until we get closer to the end of the year. And last year we had a Christmas show that was more like a mini micro bear boat type thing. Micropalooza, yeah.
Micropalooza. So I take it you're a musician also?
No. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, I went through a phase where, you know, I thought I was going to be a musician, but I just don't have the thing that they have. I think that's, what do they call that, talent or something like that? But I'm a very big music fan. Music's always played a big part in my life. And I was lucky enough at the beginning of the punk years in the 80s, I had a friend that who was my best friend in high school and my first love, turned me on to the early new wave punk bands and rescued me from becoming one of these guys that only listens to 70s music. So from there on, my ear was open to things that were new and different and unusual. So after 2004, which was the year that I came out, Freddy said, "Well, you know, we've got some music that we put out on independently released CDs, and he said you should check out a couple of sites: Woody Bear Music Woody Bear Music and BearRadio.net." And now I listen to BearRadio.net at work every day. I've just got my little headphone jack and, you know, just tune into Bear Radio and sit there and listen all day. And I've been exposed to some music that really speaks to my life that I'm not going to get that on commercial radio. There's one radio show on the Vanderbilt College station here called Liver Radio. That was when I got involved in listening to podcasts. Live Radio records, they don't record everyone as diligently as I would like, but they're a weekly show, and they record their shows. So I went to the website and then downloaded iTunes, and, you know, as is par for the course for me in the search engine, I typed in the words gay and fair.
Okay.
Boom. Here come all of these podcasts. And so I'm picking through there and, you know, sampling things like the Mopod Show, Beat Hawk, Rainbow Pop Squad, and the Little Fatty Cast from South Carolina, and this thing called their podcast.
Okay.
So morning commercial radio here in Nashville is just totally unlistenable. It's awful. The only talk radio is conservative propaganda. So now that I can download podcasts with iTunes and transfer them to my phone, I listen to that in the mornings. So I'm no longer at the mercy of the major media outlets. So my music is their music. My news and media is their podcast. I have tampered. I've been rescued from the tyranny of corporate media.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you listening to the podcast, too.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm turning the other bears here onto, you know, onto the podcast as well.
How can listeners contact you or see your profile?
I'm on Bear 411 as Baldy68, that's B-A-L-B-Y, number 6, number 8, Baldy68, or I'm on Yahoo as Baldy68@yahoo.com.
Two of those, huh? Baldy68, Baldy68.
Two of those. I had one originally that was just one Baldy68, but I messed it up and I can't use it anymore, so I created another one that was Baldy68 twice.
I see. Easier to remember. Well, okay, so thank you very much. I really appreciate you being in the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nard, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Nashville at some point. Hope you can manage to come to Bear Jam this year.
I'll try to. I don't know if I can yet. I have to ask my partner.
No, it's tough, but if not this year, maybe next year. Because we're going to keep this going
down
here a long time.
Yeah, we'll try to cover it. Okay. So, thank you very much, Robert.
Okay, Nard.
Daddy, Daddy, I heard the carnival is in town.
The carnival, son? Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, what kind of attractions do you think they'll have this year?
Well, I heard they've got a freak show, games, music, and bears everywhere.
Bears everywhere?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Well, in that case, I think you better stay home, son. This is Daddy's kind of carnival.
Step right up, folks. Come on, come all. The Music City Bears presents Bear Jam 2006 Country Carnival in Nashville, Tennessee, July 20th through 23rd. A fun four-day festival of freaks, food, and frolic where you and all your furry friends can let it all hang out. You just won't believe the wonders we have in store for you.
You'll be amazed at the human oddities and freaks of nature at Sideshow Benny's Carnival Midway, complete with carnival treats, games, and performances by Yolanda, Kendall, and fire-eating, sword-swallowing, nail-up-the-nose freak Sideshow Benny.
Chow down at the Country Banquet and King of the Carnival Contest, where contestants will display their wildest talents, hosted by hilarious Bearlicious comedian Babaloo.
And Bearpalooza is back with a full day of live music at Nashville's renowned 3rd and Lindsay Bar and Grill, featuring 9 hot bear performers in a musical extravaganza.
So come on down to Bear Jam Country Carnival. Get your tickets and book your hotel reservations now by going to www.musiccitybears.com/bearjam.
So call the babysitter, because this ain't no kitty fair.
All right, some shout-outs. Okay.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead. With your bitch, the big black bitch. Ding dong, the big black bitch is dead. Oh, sorry, I just heard the news about Star Jones leaving The View.
Oh, good.
What, Star Jones? You have your little hissy fit because Rosie O'Donnell is coming to the show and you can't stand the bitch, so you're going to leave? Whatever. Leave the show, you big-headed black bitch.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the show.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do a special shout-out to Alex in Iraq right now. He missed Gay Pride Parade. Yeah, so I was actually wondering if he can stage a Pride Parade there. What do you think?
Probably not. Not without getting court-martialed, I think. Yeah, I also want to say thank you to Alex because he pulled a surprise on Chris. I guess he did it as an early birthday gift or something. I don't know. He just paid for a full year paid account on LiveJournal for Chris. So thank you, Alex. That was a big surprise, actually. So
be careful there, okay, Alex? I heard, you've been, there's been a lot of, what can I say?
There's been a lot of attacks, yeah.
So be careful, Alex, okay?
Please come back to us in one piece. That's all we ask.
He'll be coming back in October, so that's good.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so a few more. Okay. Shout-outs to Jerry, Mitch, and Sean from the Bear Dinner Group here in Houston, and also our Ray. He's one of the Triad members in the Houston Air Bears. They did a great job last night during the special screening of Superman Returns, which you watched yesterday. Yeah, last night.
Do not tell me anything about that damn film. I'm seeing it next week. Don't give me any spoilers or nothing.
Okay.
Don't you dare. You're not allowed to come and visit me. Don't you dare.
Okay, let's just say they pretty much opened possibilities for sequels. How's that?
Okay, just don't give away anything. Anywho,
All right.
By the way, you were telling me that a big question that you had about a certain appendage on Superman you think has finally been cleared up in the movie.
Okay.
It's pertaining to whether or not he was cut or uncut.
Yeah.
And you said apparently it was tight enough to where you could tell that the man has not been circumcised.
Okay, yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have been listening for a while, everyone knows that Maynard has been wondering whether or not Clark Kent is cut or uncut because he's an alien. I guess he's uncut.
Because he's indestructible.
Okay, very true. So, but is the tight that tight to where you could like make out every minute detail on him?
Let me see. When he was flying on his, flying on his back, he was,
Oh, he likes it on the back, huh?
Yeah, I think he's a grower, though. I think he's.
Oh, dear God. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, now we know why the movie's PG-13.
Yeah. We were waiting for some gratuitous sex, but there's none. Kids, it's good for the kids. So if you have nephews out there, or if you have children even, go bring them to watch Superman. It's pretty good. Superman Returns.
Yeah, I'm seeing it next Monday, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Opening night of Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm there. I need my Jack Sparrow fix. So, okay. And for those of you who need to geek out, also the Spider-Man 3 trailer is now available on QuickTime. So
yeah,
you can go download that.
They showed that too last night. It's pretty cool.
And plus, also, I've just found this out right now, Maynard, that it's exclusive to Yahoo Movies right now. But if you go to Yahoo Movies, if you have not had a chance to see it yet, you can now finally see the trailer for Snakes on the Plane with Samuel L. Jackson. If you've not seen it, I suggest checking it out because this is probably going to be one of the most outrageously ridiculous but fun films of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we proceed, let me do one more shout out. Okay.
Okay.
Ron, a friend of mine in Houston Air Bears, he had a slight heart attack the day after.
Oh no!
After the Pride Parade, I hope he's doing fine. I think, yeah, he was driving the truck, and I hope he's doing fine now. I believe he's okay now. So, hope you're doing fine now, Ron. So,
do they know what brought on the heart attack?
I don't know. Probably the stress from the night before Pride, maybe. But he was just driving. He was in the truck, so.
Oh, wow. I didn't get a chance to ask you. Houston holds the Pride Parade at night, correct?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
How hot was it, even though it was at night?
Well, let's just say, it's not as It's not as hot as it is during the day, of course.
Of course.
It's great that they thought about doing it at night, so people can have... well, first, it's cooler. Mm-hmm. Second, people can play around with lights.
I get these bad images of, like, the Main Street Electrical Parade from Disneyland done gay, so...
All right, so that's it. That's it for me. How about you?
I have a few shout-outs. First of all, I want to make a shout-out to my friend Eric back in the Bay Area. He just recently survived a stabbing attack, actually, out there in Oakland, California. Apparently, when he was at the ATM machine, someone out of nowhere pounced him and sliced the back of his neck with a knife. Fortunately, they didn't hit any main arteries, they didn't hit any major nerves or anything, but all he experienced was dizziness because of lack of blood, so I'm glad that Eric's doing okay. He's too young to go, he's only 20, so I'm glad that he's doing okay, and next time that you're going to go out on your in Oakland at night, Eric, please bring a buddy with you, because Oakland's not that safe.
Don't do a fag friend, Roy, okay?
Yeah, don't do me like what I did in Richmond, okay? Learn from my mistake. Also want to give a quick shout-out to Michael West. We just recently started talking on MySpace, and I want to give a shout-out to him, and I hope he does well at Bearpalooza.
Did you get to listen to his interview with Shannon at B-Talk?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Awesome.
That was a good interview. I like it a lot.
It was a very good interview, yes.
And it sounds hot.
Well, he looks hot. Duh.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the pictures.
Have you seen his photos? If not, go to Bear411 right now and look at the guy's photos. He's hot. Uh-huh. And he's talented, too. That's the good thing. So, yeah. Also want to give a shout-out to my friend Andy. He's known as Puzzle Gut on Bear411. He's also known as Puzzle Gut on LiveJournal. I hope he's surviving... this summer, because he works at a movie theater. He owns a movie theater, actually. And I hope that, you know, this summer's not being brutal to him. I also want to give shout-outs to my friends Warren, who lives over here in Denton, and also my bosom buddy, my partner in crime, and my younger brother John out in San Francisco. I miss you so much, John, and it was good hearing from you the other day. Finally, I want to give a shout-out to Kendall. Kendall, you have a great new song out called Heterosexual Sex. Yeah. And the video is absolutely hysterical. It's available on YouTube now, I think.
I have it pulled out here. Let me play it.
Okay? Oh, great.
Hold on. Okay, let me play it.
And now we're ready for the film. Lights.
No. I've heard the song before, though.
Yeah.
It's big in Japan. It's free for a woman, but it costs for a man. It's a natural thing. Don't knock it till you try it on a leather sling.
That type of proclivity
is accepted or rejected by society.
So it's a matter of style.
Is it in? Is it out? Does it make you smile?
Heterosexual sex. Heterosexual sex in various states of undress. Oh my, heterosexual sex.
I'm feeling heterosexual, baby.
Okay. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool video.
It's very Devo-ish, which is what I love about it. And I mean, I loved Hip Hop Dykes, but this song is just, it's catchy, and I absolutely love it, and it's a big throwback to the early days of 80s new wave pop, which is what I love about it. So good job on that, Kendall.
Yeah. Very good video. Wow. Okay. All right, so I guess that wraps the show. That's it.
Yay!
Okay, so thank you guys for listening. You can email me at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
And you can contact me through MySpace. I have a MySpace account at www.myspace.com/fagfanroy. That's all one word. And for those of you who don't know the origins of Fag Fan Roy, just ask and I will tell you what it means. And yes, I know that when you take Fag Fan Roy and you do it as initials, it spells fur.
F-F-R.
F-F-R. Fur.
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 Catch my fur.
Oh, tickle me, Fag Fan Roy.
Okay, so yeah, visit the website www.bearpodcast.com, and you can also leave voice messages at 206-222-BEAR. That's 206-222-2327.
And call us. We'll play your phone call on the air. Call us.
Call us, yeah. All right, so that's it. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Many whoops and many hugs.
Yo-ho.
My job is stupid, my days are bored. Inside this office, from 8 till 4, well, nothing ever happens. My life is pretty bland, pretending that I'm working. Pray I don't get canned. My cubicle, my cubicle, it's one of 62. It's my small space in a crowded place. Just a 6x6 old booth. And I hate it, that's the truth. Well, I give a sigh as the boss walks by. No one ever talks to me or looks me in the eye, and I'm really shook work. But instead I just sit here and surf the internet in my cubicle. My cubicle, it doesn't have a view. It's my small space in a crowded place. I sit in solitude, and sometimes I sit here.